Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Individuals such as Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and Terry Rozier were taken into custody today. Former, current NBA players and coaches. What you don't know is that this is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years. The FBI led a coordinated takedown across 11 states to arrest over 30 individuals today responsible for this case, which is very much ongoing. Not only did we crack into the fraud that these perpetrators committed on the grand stage of the NBA, but we also entered and executed a system of justice against La Casa Nostra to include the Bonanno, Gambino, Genovese, and Lucchese crime families.
Huh. So when I first saw this story, and this has to do with the Trailblazers coach, and I was reading it and I'm like, what do you mean illegal gambling? Because that was how it was originally put, like illegal. I'm like, what? That could mean a number of things. He could be holding something inside his house, but apparently it's a lot more than that. I mean, you got some of the major families involved in this. You got the Bonannos, the Genovese, the Lucchese, the Gambino families are all involved in it. They said, I'm dying. They said that, it's apparently a big, it was a big operation that was happening here. You know, I don't know. I look at this and, they said it was a rigged poker scheme. I'm reading some of the documents on it. How much money do you think they were dealing with this?
Oh man, I don't even think you can accurately quantify it yet. I mean, how deep did this go? He said it's been going on for 11 years or more. So over 11 years, probably a lot of damn money.
Do you want to hear a very unpopular opinion?
Sure.
Am I supposed to be angrier over this than the legalized racketeering of my federal government with the taxation scheme? I just can't get mad over stuff like this when we've got the IRS.
Yeah, if you've never bet on a game, or if you've never...
I've never gambled. I've played slot machines one time in my life, and I had one quarter, and I won $5, and that was it.
Steve, how long have I been telling you that I think the NBA's rigged and the NFL's rigged?
Since I got hired at this job, yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's been pretty obvious to some people.
So wait a minute. All of the games, you think that you're... Explain this to me, because I don't follow it like y'all do.
Right, and I don't have proof that all of the games were manipulated. But when you have different point spreads... And you're like, all right, this team will win by 3.5, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden, at the last seconds of the game, it's magic that they lose by less than that or slightly more than that, depending on which way the betting surges went. Yeah, it kind of after a while gets like, this is obvious.
I mean, it's bread and circuses. Is anybody surprised?
No.
Really. That you're going to that bread and circuses are going to be manipulated?
Like, what were you saying, Steve?
Oh, yeah. I mean, player props are the problem. You should just bet on spreads and not players.
Right.
Well, there you go. America's tap water is a cocktail of heavy metals and toxins, the result of corroded pipes that we should have replaced decades ago. I mean, just ask anybody in Flint, Michigan. You got lead, heavy metals, rust, basically liquid poison right out the tap. So when I tried Cove Pure on my counter, it was so easy. No plumber, no drilling. You just plug it in and pick your water temperature on the touch screen. And honestly, it actually tastes like water, not like death. So that's why I use the Cove Pure water purifier to keep my family safe. Unlike the government, Cove Pure actually does its job. Lead in your water doesn't stop at a gross taste. It can actually cause a host of serious medical issues. But yeah, sure, go ahead. Trust the city with your kid's health. I mean, you know, what could go wrong? Cove Pure's ClearWave technology removes up to 99.9% of contaminants, so don't wait for the government to help. Take back control of your family's health and finally drink water the way that it was meant to be. Visit CovePure.com/Dana for $200 off. That's CovePure.com/Dana.
One tragedy, one secret, two lives changed forever. From Josh Boone, director of The Fault in Our Stars, and the brilliant mind of Colleen Hoover comes Regretting You, a deeply moving film about love, a mother and daughter torn apart by loss, and their unbreakable bond as they are forced to rediscover each other. Starring Get Out's Allison Williams and Gifted's McKenna Grace, and featuring Dave Franco and Mason Thames, Regretting You will take you on a powerful journey through grief, healing, and unexpected hope. With emotional depth, unforgettable performances, and the kind of storytelling that lingers, this is the film event of the fall. Experience the heartbreak, witness the healing, believe in second chances. Regretting You is about healing, rediscovery, and the resilience of women. It's the ultimate movie night, first love, family secrets, and major plot twists. Bring your sister, your best friend, your mom, and your book club. This is the ultimate movie night, and prepare to feel it all. This film has a little bit of everything: romance, tears, and laughs. See Regretting You, only in theaters October 24th.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
Dana. Little Tori Amos Cornflake Girl, which I thought was very apropos for the intro to this segment. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. Channel 347 DirecTV is where you can watch us do the radio program. Also, the chat's at Rumble. We got good stuff at Facebook and X. Let me just throw this out, and then we're going to go right to our guest. I think that there is a massive psyop that is being conducted on the right. I think that the thirsty clout chasers, and I think that the weaker members, the newer members of the right who didn't check their progressive ideologies at the door of the big tent when they joined, are all susceptible to it. And as a result, we have seen a division erupt. Now, I tend to think that the division maybe not, it's not as bad yet as it can be, as we're seeing on the left, but it will be if it goes unchecked. And this is something that this movement has seen before, during the Reagan years. This movement has seen this sort of ideological division. And it's something that, you know, I saw play out this morning, and I've seen it play out with a number of my friends, and it's getting a little crazy. And we're going to kind of dive into that and some other things with my friend and guest, as you know him, CEO of Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon, at Seth Dillon on X. And he just had to deal with a crazy really crazy security story where a guy was making death threats against him and was threatening to kill him and his family. A guy lived in Florida. They found out who he is. And then the AG of Florida announced that they were notified of the threats, and they got an arrest warrant, and they charged this guy, Nicholas Ray of Spring, Texas, with extortion, written threats to kill, and unlawful use of a two-way communication device. And he was apparently motivated by this divide on the right. Seth joins us now via video. It's good to see you, my friend, and I'm glad you're safe.
Good to see you, too. And so am I. But yeah, thanks for having me on.
What's happening? I don't even know where to start. I was like thinking about how we were going to even begin this discussion. And it's honestly not something that I ever thought that we would have to talk about on the right. Maybe that was me being naive. Yeah. But it's kind of shocking. Tell us what's happening.
Well, in this particular case, this really goes back to Charlie's murder. That's where a lot of this started. I mean, there's some of it goes back before that, obviously. But where I get drawn into this is the origin of that is with Charlie's murder. You know, he was with me and a bunch of other people in the Hamptons back in August. This is about a month before he was killed. And there were a lot of conspiracies floating around about where Charlie was and his position on Israel and how much pressure was being applied to him by the donors and what happened there in the Hamptons. And then some conspiracies, you know, about what happened there were circulating, Candace Owens, of course, being at the forefront of propagating those and painting me as someone who was, you know, a malicious and bad actor who was applying, you know, pressure to Charlie, trying to blackmail him. I was supposedly involved in some meeting involving him and Bill Ackman, and Bibi Netanyahu was on the phone offering him $150 million and to get back on board with his support of Israel. And he turned that down. And then guess what? He winds up dead. You know, it's, so there's like this crazy conspiracy that I was caught up into. And a lot of people bought it. A lot of people believed it. Everybody is eager to believe that Israel and the Jews are behind everything, right? Well, not everybody, but, you know, the people who are susceptible to this stuff, who are having this shoved down their throats all of the time, they buy into it. And so there was a lot of negative sentiment, and that's putting it mildly, of course, about me because of this. You know, I was someone who was actually personally friends with Charlie. I was at this event at his invitation. It wasn't anything like it was characterized. But that's where the negative attention came from. And so for several weeks, you know, there was just, what happened in the Hamptons, Seth? You know, like, what? Why did you blackmail your friend, Seth? What kind of friend are you, Seth? And so I was getting a lot of this stuff. And then it started to, you know, of course, we started to see some more aggressive things coming out with, in this particular case, Nicholas Ray, actually saying that he wanted to kill me because of my involvement in Charlie's death. And so these are false, defamatory statements that were made for the malicious purpose of doing harm to my reputation and putting a target on my back. And people got the message, obviously. So that's how we ended up here. But I'm very grateful. Let me just say before I throw it back to you, very grateful for the prompt and serious response that Florida law enforcement had. The AG took it very seriously. His office took it very seriously. And of course, the prosecutor's office, you know, in seeking that arrest warrant as soon as possible, getting the subpoenas they needed before they could do that. So I'm grateful to them for having our backs. And it wasn't just me, by the way. I don't want to just make it sound like he was targeting me individually. It was several other people were involved in this. And so nasty stuff, very nasty stuff.
It is. And you're right. James Uthmeyer, his AG of Florida, did a swift and great job at mitigating this and getting this guy, because, I mean, what the guy was doing. I mean, this is what we talk about when I think a lot of this, you know, is maybe bot driven, but a lot of it's not. And, you know, like what we talk about with the left, you know, there's only so many times that people can call Trump a Nazi and a fascist and all this stuff before somebody out there who's super susceptible to this picks up on it and does something.
And it's one thing to talk about somebody accurately, like what they've actually said and done, and report truthfully on what they've actually said and done. It's quite another thing to caricature them, to put words in their mouth that they didn't say, to portray them as being Hitler or a Nazi or something when they're couldn't be further than the truth for someone like Trump and his supporters, the MAGA coalition. Those types of smears do have very negative consequences. Now, if someone's not actually calling for violence, then they're not responsible for whatever violence somebody does, but they are responsible for planting the seeds where there's fertile ground for that kind of radical reaction. And so I don't know why you would do that. Why would you want to do that unless you're just an evil and malicious person? But, you know, people keep asking me how I'm doing, and I'm like, well, you know, I lost my friend, and then I was accused of playing a role in his murder. And now a lot of my other friends are covering for the people who are responsible for those accusations. So I don't really know how to explain how I'm doing right now. And this is a very unusual situation in my life. I've never experienced anything like this before. I don't wish it on anybody.
What's weird to me, and we're talking with Seth Dillon, CEO of the Babylon Bee, about all this, is that, you know, I understand if people want to have a disagreement with, like, you know, the Israeli government. But I feel like a lot of the people who are saying that but doing something different couldn't even tell you how their parliament is structured. They can't tell you the difference between Herzog and Netanyahu. They have no idea about, you know, the lay of the land, so to speak, over there. And it feels like a veneer for what it really is, which is just anti-Semitism. And it's a bunch of people on, not a bunch, but some people on the right who are playing into the identity politics of the left. And that's a leftist thing. Do you think that some of this is maybe the consequence of, you know, it's great to have a coalition or a big tent, but there's certain things that are just persona non grata in a coalition, and using identity politics like the left ought to be one of them. Is some of this a failure to enforce that?
Oh, certainly. I just wrote about this in the Free Press, by the way, talking about the foolishness of the no enemies to the right principle. I think it's not just foolish, it's immoral. you know, to not draw lines, to not be willing to say, you know, there are certain people that you won't lock arms with. A lot of these things, these are things that the right, there was a lot more moral clarity on the right several years ago, where the alt-right, or, you know, this white supremacist kind of like equal but opposite reaction to like the leftist Antifa thugs, like everybody kind of saw that as being this really fringe, really nasty thing that we didn't want any part of. And we distinguished between ourselves and them. We're like, they keep calling Trump, you know, and his supporters Nazis and Hitler and whatever. Like, we're not like that. There may be people like that on the fringe far right, but we're not like them. We would distinguish. Now there are calls to join with them and to bring them into the movement and make them part of the movement. And no one so far has explained to me, first of all, how that's morally justified, but also, how is it politically expedient? How does it help us? How could it do anything but hurt us to bring people who are collectivist? Yeah, they engage in these race-based grievance things. They're supremacists. They are they're just filled with bigotry and hatred. They have authoritarian impulses. They're collectivists. Like, you add all of these things up, and it's like, what in the world? How could we possibly benefit from having them in the conservative movement? That doesn't make any sense. You know, this is a real reckoning for conservatives to decide, what is our identity? What is a conservative? That's the next question that we need to be asking. We had that question about what is a woman. Now we need to have it about what is a conservative.
I think that's a good point. And what happened to the left when they decided to mainstream the radicals, the street team that they used to as an agitated variable to get out the vote? I mean,
A great cautionary tale, right? Because it wasn't just that they tolerated their extremists. I think, you know, including them in their broad coalition was a mistake. But they didn't just include them. They gave them the reins. Mm. And so you ended up with a situation where, of course, yes, they did accrue a lot of cultural and institutional power with very radical ideas that they were trying to enforce on all of us from the top down. But they pushed too far. Of course, they went so radical that reasonable people, you know, we started to see the erosion of parental rights. We started to see kids being exposed not just to inappropriate materials in their schools, but also this harmful gender ideology that was leading them down a path of destruction and despair and cutting off healthy body parts and all of it. Like, it went so crazy, so far beyond the realm of what's even possible to satirize, that there was natural backlash to that. Reasonable people had only so much tolerance for that kind of absurdity. And I think they'll only have so much tolerance for the kind of bigotry and authoritarianism that's creeping into the right wing. And so I think it's only prudent from a political standpoint, if you're just looking at it pragmatically, it's prudent to draw those lines. But it's also the right thing to do. Let's not lose sight of that. It's the right thing to do to say, look, this is wrong. You know, glorifying Hitler isn't good. And we shouldn't be welcoming those people. We should be condemning them. And no one should have to ask us to. We should be willingly doing that.
What do you say to people who argue, well, you know, conservatism has never been implemented? That's like the coordinated response from some of these people. And my thought is that one of the reasons that I'll caucus with Republicans, but I don't consider myself a party member, is because they're too left for me. I don't think conservative principles have ever been implemented. Fully Christian conservative principles have never been implemented at the federal level by the GOP. And that's kind of my take on it. What is your thought on that?
Well, I wasn't sure where you were going with that, but I also hear a lot, well, conservatism, are you trying to say that conservatism has failed? That's the objection?
Yeah, that's what their argument is. I'm like, okay, you have to implement it or try to before you can say it's failed.
Well, yes, you're not wrong. I agree with you there. But it also, it's not the case that right now conservatives are losing. I wouldn't concede that. I do think that conservatives did fail to conserve some things they should have conserved. I think there were a lot of people who were too squishy, a lot of people who were too willing to compromise, that didn't stand their ground on some of these issues. And so we lost a lot of ground because we didn't fight as aggressively as we should have on some of those issues. That's certainly a problem. But I think that, like I was saying, the backlash that was generated by the left's overreach has resulted in some serious and legitimate wins for the right, for conservatism. And, you know, a return of sanity, a return of valuing the truth, reality, staying firmly planted in reality and what's good, objectively good and true. We've seen a lot of victories along those lines. I was just saying the other day, you know, there's a joke I used to tell about how we're so disadvantaged in this fight. It's like being a woman who's just jumped into the pool with Leah Thomas. You know, he's the tall one with the testicles. And so this is like a joke I used to tell about how disadvantaged we are. Well, that joke is old now because Leah Thomas has had those titles stripped, those records taken away. Like we're solving these problems. We're pushing back on these things. And so conservatives, I think, are in advance, and the far left, progressive left, is in retreat in the culture and in the courts. And so we are winning a lot right now. And it's just bizarre to me to be having conversations about how the extreme lengths we're going to need to go to in order to win, you know, put win in scare quotes, because I think we're already winning. You know, like, why would we need to abandon the Constitution, exactly, go post-constitutional and adopt all of these radical ideas
or adopt identity politics, because we've been winning without it?
Yeah. And how is that winning when you become like the left? How are you defeating the left?
Yeah. So my last question for you, and this is kind of a hard one.
I mean, explain it to me like I'm Kamala Harris. I don't care.
Or Hunter Biden, although he might understand it better. So I don't know how this shakes out, because I know that when everything happened during like the Reagan years, I think maybe I don't think I was alive then, or if I was, I was maybe like 1 year old. I don't have that lived memory of it. I just know what I read, that, you know, that sort of aspect of the right was sort of drummed out. I don't know how that looks currently. I don't know how this dissonance is handled, and where we go from here, how you can even convince people who are adopting, you know, beliefs like this, how they're persuadable to even come away from that. Your thought?
You mean like the people that have bought into some of this stuff?
Yeah.
And
are promoting it and perpetuating it, and, you know, are like quote unquote influencers, or who freak out when you mildly correct them on social media.
Yeah, well, the influence. So there's two problems. There's the young people who are so susceptible to it, and there's the people who are pushing it, the young people who are super receptive to it, and then the cowards in the movement who are, you know, trying not to do anything about it and trying not to confront it head on like they should, like they would have several years ago. You know, there's this popular idea right now that what's really needed more than anything is unity. We can't have this infighting. It's a problem. And I think it's suicidal, ultimately. Yeah. It's going to end up destroying us. Yeah, it's only going to help the left. It's not going to, you know, like, I don't think that a lot of these people actually endorse the ideas, the radical ideas, but they've for some reason have decided that it's necessary for us to have unity with the people that have these ideas. And again, like I said, I haven't heard a good argument for why that would be. I haven't heard it. There's certainly no good moral argument for it, but I haven't even heard a good political argument for it.
Yeah. You've taken a beating, and I appreciate you with your consistency, and you've been, you know, a good ally and a good friend. And so we're praying for your safety, and I'm glad that you guys are safe. And, you know, the offer still stands. If you want to come and get John Wicked out, you know, come on over to Dallas.
I want to do that. We'll have to work that out. We'll find a spot on the schedule that works to do that.
That's right. We will. Seth Dillon, CEO of Babylon Bee. You can find him on X. God bless you, my friend. Good to talk with you. We'll
God
talk
bless
again
you too.
Soon.
Thank you.
Of course, the folks are partners that help bring you the program. It is the folks over at Kel-Tec, the KS7 Gen 2 shotgun. If you're in the market for a shotgun, check out Kel-Tec's KS7, the second gen. It's packed with upgrades. You have a 5-slot Picatinny-style accessory rail. You can add vertical grips, lights, keep it flush, sleek, with a cap if you want. It's a smoother pump action, so you have faster, cleaner cycling, plus enhanced durability. All the original advantages are there. The ultra-light weight, it just... you know, under 7 pounds unloaded, compact bullpup design, maneuverability in tight spaces, ambidextrous downward shell ejection, 7+1 capacity for all of it. Great for home defense, range days. It works well for seasoned shooters and first-timers. MSRP is just $639, so it's super affordable, all accessible, well within reach. Check it out. It's from KeltecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. It's the KS7 Gen 2. Tell them that Dana sent you.
One tragedy, one secret, two lives changed forever. From Josh Boone, director of The Fault in Our Stars, and the brilliant mind of Colleen Hoover comes Regretting You, a deeply moving film about love, a mother and daughter torn apart by loss, and their unbreakable bond as they are forced to rediscover each other. Starring Get Out's Allison Williams and Gifted's McKenna Grace, and featuring Dave Franco and Mason Thames, Regretting You will take you on a powerful journey through grief, healing, and unexpected hope. With emotional depth, unforgettable performances, and the kind of storytelling that lingers, this is the film event of the fall. Experience the heartbreak, witness the healing, believe in second chances. Regretting You is about healing, rediscovery, and the resilience of women. It's the ultimate movie night, first love, family secrets, and major plot twists. Bring your sister, your best friend, your mom, and your book club. This is the ultimate movie night. and prepare to feel it all. This film has a little bit of everything: romance, tears, and laughs. See Regretting You, only in theaters October 24th.
For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I feel like we've seen this movie, and or some aspect of it. A dinosaur egg was unearthed in perfect condition. After 70 million years. Not going to lie. My first thought was, free pet? They said it's Argentinian paleontologist found a perfectly preserved 70 million year old dinosaur egg during an excavation. They said it's a spectacular find. They find fossils all the time. They've never found an egg. And they think that it could hold, genetic material. I feel like this is also a Dave Chappelle skit. I'll have mine over easy, please. Like, it's ballin' when he did MTV Cribs and they had like legit dinosaur eggs in the fridge. U.S. car repossession surge as more Americans default on auto loans. Finances are getting tighter. Wall Street sounds the alarm over the strain throughout the car lending market as experts warn of potential risks for the wider economy. They said that they're being cautious, but that they've, you know, got a lot of money getting lost in this. Also, let's see, real estate boom towns are going bust. It's called a market correction because certain markets were just super hyper. I thought hyper saturated, and I thought a lot of stuff was, what am I thinking? The value was exaggerated. That's kind of how I look at it. Ken, I don't think I'm wrong because you're familiar with this industry. Yeah. I really don't. I feel like that's you know.
Yeah, we're going to see a correction. And then when the prices come down, you'll start seeing the demand go back
exactly,
up.
Exactly. So I don't think that that's anything necessarily to freak out over. Netflix, their CEO on the Warner Brothers Discovery buyout rumors, they said they have no interest in owning legacy media networks. Huh. Interesting. Also, Luigi Mangione, you know, the guy who stabbed the healthcare CEO in broad morning light. Shot him. Yeah, sorry. Well, the reason why I said, because I'm looking at this story about how he got beaten up and almost stabbed by ladyboys in Thailand. He got roughed up by a group of dudes dressed as women during a wild night out in Thailand. Some of the ladyboys tried to attack him. One of them had a knife. Just interesting facts that come out. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. This story, it's a story of an illegal alien. A Mexican national named Carlitos Porayas, 44, of South Los Angeles. He was arrested. I'm looking at his rap sheet here. He got charged with assault on a federal officer. And then he tried to escape arrest. And then one agent responded. He ended up getting shot in the elbow. So why was he? Well, he entered illegally and has been living illegally and apparently doing some other stuff. So I saw him driving his gray Toyota Camry. They surrounded him and then they approached and gave him orders to exit the car and submit to arrest. He refused. He drove the Camry forward and back and was knocking into the law enforcement vehicles. He refused to comply. And then he drove it more aggressively towards another law enforcement vehicle. And they said that his driving was so aggressive that it escalated to the point that large plumes of smoke formed around the Camry, and that was caused by the spinning of the car's tires. There was debris because he was apparently so aggressive, like he was throwing rubber off his tires in all directions. Some of the agents got hit by it. What ended up happening is they were trying to dislodge the Camry because he ran in between two other vehicles. At one point, a federal agent was forced to open fire because the guy was trying to use his vehicle at that point as a murder weapon. And he could be jailed for up to 8 years if he's convicted. But here's the kicker. The Los Angeles City Council hailed him as a, quote, pillar of our community. And they gave him an award. He was honored and presented with a framed award, certificate of recognition. And they had a big thing, and they gave it to him. They had photos of them awarding him this. I am without words, Kane.
I mean, it just is another check on the list of proof that Democrats care way more about criminals and illegals than they do the American citizen.
Here's a question. So when do we as citizens get the privilege of ignoring whatever laws we want to ignore?
Let alone be awarded for it.
Because I have some. I have some that I don't want to follow. Yeah, and then we could get awards for it. Can you imagine? So I want to not also follow laws and get an award for not following the law. There are probably like veterans in there are veterans in Los Angeles who never got an award, and they're probably drug addicted and left on the sidewalk. But this guy, he gets a framed award. Look at it. It's got if you're watching the simulcast, it has the seal, everything on it. Look, he's got it's all framed. You know, they probably gave him the frame too. He got the whole thing. They had it all pro done. Is that not something? That's the guy. So he gets celebrated and awarded. And we wonder why we have such a problem with lawlessness and disorder. Right? Now, what's more, one of our listeners on social goes by Polly Girl. In Hennepin County, this is kind of wild, felony burglary is now a citation offense. No arrest, no booking. That's what it is. And this is in Minnesota. Hennepin County. Yeah. So, a felony in Hennepin County, Minnesota is now just a ticket. You only get a ticket. That's a new thing. That's the kind of like what they were doing in California, right? So they've changed them. And there's paperwork that shows that these are all being downgraded. Bloomington City Attorney, like for instance, third degree burglary, enters public building, steals. And that's just a citation now. There's no arrest. There's no anything. It's a felony, but now they're not even prosecuting it as such. You know, a lot of these clearance rates for a lot of these liberal cities, and by clearance rates, I mean, you know, where you have these felonious activities and whether you get an arrest or you have somebody go to trial, that counts as whether or not you're clearing that case. They have dropped so low. I think in Detroit, it's like 15%. Of the cases that they deal with actually, it's staggering. It is staggering. The structure, the judicial system and this restorative justice, there are so many studies that dance around it, but they don't want to actually confirm that that's what's really driving so much of this stuff. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's wild, but this is part of the issue as it pertains to the criminal justice system. You have these prosecutors that are just issuing wrist slaps and judges that are issuing wrist slaps, and they think that that somehow is going to be better in mitigating crime than just enforcing the law. Like, for instance, the Glock thing, which we will be talking about more, where they're trying to force Glock to redesign their firearms because the criminals will commit a felony by installing a switch in it, which anything is modifiable no matter what. And it's not, what gets me is like, for crying out loud, you know who the criminals are, you know who the people are doing it. Instead of arresting them, they're making Glock literally redesign their guns. It's like making vehicles redesign, or automobile manufacturers redesign their vehicles because people are stealing them. You're going to blame the product and act like the attractiveness and the covetousness of it is the problem and not the law breaking. That's where we are. You're going to get more vigilantism if this keeps up. That's a guarantee.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Cheekies from the Cheekies and Chill podcast. My fur babies give me everything, and I wish I could give just as much back. But hey, I'm only human. That's why I trust Hill's Pet Nutrition. Hill's science-led nutrition helps you give more love than humanly possible. Most days, my schedule is jam-packed. I'm either out all day recording new episodes of Cheekies and Chill, or I'm stuck in back-to-back business meetings. And I feel guilty knowing my babies, Pancho and Rayu, are at home waiting for me to get back. But when I'm finally home, that's when I show them how much I love them by feeding them their favorite pet food, so they can taste mi amor profundo. This human understands, science does more. Find the right food at hillspet.com/iHeart.
What happens when tragedy uncovers the secrets we thought were buried forever? See Paramount Pictures' Regretting You, October 24th, the powerful new romance film based on Colleen Hoover's best-selling novel. Starring Allison Williams, McKenna Grace, Dave Franco, and Mason Thames, this heart-tugging story explores the fragile, beautiful bond between a mother and daughter, tested by love, betrayal, and loss. Bring your mom, your best friend, or your whole book club. And don't forget the tissues. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll leave feeling everything. Regretting You, only in theaters October 24th.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.